as we begin to get into the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' teachings in Matthew chapter 5 and following, Jesus is teaching, of course, the disciples are there listening. Six times just in chapter 5, Jesus says, "You have heard it said," some instruction from the law, "but I say to you." Jesus is not criticizing the Torah or the Old Testament, as we call it. He's not replacing it. He is communicating God's original intent for those old instructions. He is teaching his disciples how to use that teaching in light of the kingdom that Jesus is bringing. "You have heard it said, but I say to you." We're just going to look at the first one today. It's six verses, but it packs a punch, I think. "You have heard it said, do not murder." Disciples nodding. Okay, yep. Got that. "But I tell you, anyone who is angry at someone else in the family of God to the point that they are calling names and saying, 'You fool,' that one will also be subject to judgment. Therefore," verse 23, "even if you are in the middle of worship and remember that someone else has a reason to have something against you, the priority is reconciliation with the brother or sister in the family of God. Verse 25, "if an adversary is taking you to court, it's better to settle matters quickly while you're on the way. Otherwise, you are at the mercy of the judge, and you don't know what the judge will do." Later in Matthew, chapter 11, verse 25, "and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." These are tough teachings, connecting anger with a brother or sister in Christ to murder, lifting reconciliation up to the level of importance of worship, calling us to work things out while we still can, forgiving others as we have been forgiven. When it was time for Jesus to go to the cross, he quietly endured his trial, arrest, flogging. He did so without resistance. The Roman soldiers, religious leaders, and criminals alike mocked and insulted him as if the physical pain was not enough. In Luke chapter 23, it says that Jesus prayed from the cross. In tremendous pain, impending death, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." It's one thing for Jesus to talk about forgiveness and reconciliation. It's another thing for him when he suffered completely unfairly, to the point of death, when he was under extreme pressure. That is when Jesus lived the forgiveness that he preached. Most of you know that I'm from California. I went to college in Santa Cruz County, and I didn't go to UC Santa Cruz, but I did have some friends who went there, University of California at Santa Cruz. One of my pastors at that time conducted some interviews with students on that campus. Now, even by California standards, UCSC is kind of out there. There's no grades. The professors give you a paragraph describing how you did in the class. The mascot is the banana slug. It's a sizable school, but they have Division IV athletics. Okay, so you're getting kind of the picture here of University of California, Santa Cruz. Dan Kimball, my pastor, asked some people, he did some interviews on campus, what comes to mind when you hear the name Jesus? Faces lit up. smiles. Students said the following, and these are direct quotes. Jesus was beautiful. I want to be like Jesus. I'm all about Jesus. I want to be a follower of Jesus. The next question they were all asked, what comes to mind when you hear the word Christian? Students looked down. Smiles went away. Some had pained expressions. They said, also direct quotes, Christians had taken the teachings of Jesus and really messed them up. I would want to be a Christian, but I have never met one. Christians are dogmatic and closed-minded. Christians are supposed to be loving, but I've never met any who are. Only one of the students they talked to that day said they knew a Christian personally. One more painful observation from an outsider, this time not from a college campus, but from Mahatma Gandhi, who led the people of India to freedom. He said, I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. We hold those painful observations from outsiders, and we think of what Jesus said in John, love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Love one another, and that's how they'll know that you follow Christ. The feedback that we're getting, or that I'm sharing with you this morning, from outsiders to the church is that they can't easily see the connection between Christ and Christian. And I know, not every one of these accusations is fair. There's misunderstandings, miscommunication, misinformation. But this morning, I invite us to examine ourselves compared to Jesus. And most of us can probably agree that we aren't just like Christ. And when we look at the family of God as a whole, we can probably agree that we aren't always walking in love and forgiveness with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can probably agree that we don't always put unity and love first. But there's some good news, too. James K.A. Smith said, you are what you love. You are what you love. So this Lenten season, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, hear his words again. See his example. As we look to him and love him, by his grace, we can become more and more like him. Not just in what we say, but in what we do and how we live and how we treat one another. Join me in prayer. Gracious God, we have asked for you to deliver us from fear. We also come before you this morning asking that you would help us to focus on you, Lord, in your holy life, in your goodness. Help us to love you more and to be more like you, knowing that none of us are perfect, but we ask that you would help us to grow into your image. In your name we pray. Amen.